Well, hello there, Karen Hicks. Artist extraordinaire, painting beautiful, slightly abstracted seascapes on the Palm Beach Peninsula. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you, Jack. It was very nice to meet you yesterday in Palm Beach.
Yes, we've got a mutual friend, Lynn, who very kindly introduced me to you, and I saw your work in the gallery and it's stunning.
Thank you.
And thanks for agreeing to have a chat. I know my audience will absolutely love to know a little bit more about how what life is like as a selling artist living in this beautiful part of the world.
Well, it's fantastic to think that I can wake up every day and go down to my studio and create artworks and people buy them, and that's my income. And it's fantastic because it makes me be in my creative world every day, which I love.
So you don't have to go to a job necessarily?
I do have a little part-time job in Avalon. I call it my pocket money job, purely because working in the studio alone every day, I can't do that every day.
You miss the socialisation?
I'm very social, so I do need to talk to people, and I find working in the shop. Plus also, the skills that I have with colour, it's a fabric and wool shop. Help people choose colours, and they say, wow, I would never have thought of that. And as an artist, you have that ability to be able to help them. And I just like people. I love being people.
So let's go back. Let's pretend your life's a video. We'll press the button. We're going to go back in time. You're having a wonderful time where you're confident with your work right now. But once upon a time, you started out. You actually came from New Zealand. When did you start? How old were you when you started painting, and what happened? How did you get going?
Well, I was living in Newport in Sydney, and then my husband was transferred to New Zealand in Auckland, and my children were quite young because I had children later in life.
So you are Australian, but you went to New Zealand.
I'm Australian, just went to New Zealand for 4 years, and he put me into art classes, private art classes, as he says, to keep me out of coffee shops and dress shops. But I absolutely loved it. Like, I was so nervous about doing it, and I couldn't believe that he bought private classes, and I said to him, why are you wasting your money? But he said, Kaz, just go along and do it. And I sat down and I picked up a silicone brush and started just using that with softer paint brushes, and I thought, I love this.
So the silicone brushes, for those of you who haven't got a visual on this, they actually look a little bit like a cooking spatula, but a little bit fatter at the end.
Yeah, they're like a paintbrush, but they've got a silicone where the brushes would, where the bristles would be. You've got the silicone square, which is like a block of rubber.
Yeah,
and it pushes the paint around.
Yeah.
So because I'm quite sort of semi-abstract.
Yes.
But, when I was young, I remember going to art galleries when I was young, and my first love is pure abstraction. I just absolutely love it. And I did paint quite abstract when I first started painting. But as time went on and I developed more skills, but also abstraction is really hard to sell, and I wanted to make a little bit of money out of my art.
Is it hard to sell? Or was that an idea that was around then?
Maybe my abstractions were hard to sell. But what I have found working in a little gallery part-time sometimes as well is that people don't identify with abstraction. They need to know what it is. But other people walk in and they go, I absolutely love that. And straight away they visualise something. So abstraction, I think, is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Let's explain about how the Palm Beach Art Gallery works. It's a gorgeous little bijou gallery.
It is. It's a collective of about 21 artists.
Yeah.
And Vanessa Ashcroft is the director of and owner of the gallery.
Yeah.
And she invites you to be part of it.
Mm.
We do pay a monthly fee to be part of it.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic location. Beautiful artworks, high quality artworks.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and I just love being part of the gallery. Like, it's, if you can't own your own gallery, it's the next best thing is to be part of a collective.
And you're not responsible for being there 100% of the time, but you can represent yourself in the gallery.
You can.
But when it's your turn to look after it and recommend everybody else's work.
Absolutely.
You're also exposed to the other work, which is very inspiring.
Yep, absolutely.
Great range they have in there. So I recommend Palm Beach Art Gallery it's about an hour or so just outside of Sydney.
Yes.
On the northern beaches.
Yes.
And there's loads of great place to go for lunch. lovely walks along the beaches. You've got pit water on one side and the surf on the other. So it will never be a wasted trip. You're going to have a ball. And dare I say, the shopping's pretty good too.
That's amazing.
And in Avalon as well, which is just before.
Yes, so, absolutely.
I'm looking around the walls of your beautiful house. It's as a vintage sort of 60s house, which is classic, you know, for this time when people were building houses for families. Lovely polished floorboards, gorgeous white walls, and the perfect backdrop or gallery, really, for your own art. Yes. And there's a lovely big piece over the mantelpiece, and I have the feeling of water running off rocks and a lovely big sky. Yes. So what would be the process for that painting?
Well,
do you refer to an actual environment, or does it come from your imagination?
It's intuitively painted, because what I do is I go around and drive and look at the beaches and Pittwater side every day. Like, I visually look at it and I take it in. I look at the clouds, I look at the horizon, I look at the colour, I look at the shades, I look at the light, and then it all goes into a filing unit in my brain.
Wow.
And then when I'm painting, it comes out intuitively, because I want every piece of artwork that I've painted is original and individual. I've never painted the same thing twice.
Yeah.
So every work is original. But I like the way that being intuitive, I can actually make it whatever I want it to be. And I prefer to have a little bit of mystery about it. And I was at part of an exhibition in Newport, and a fellow walked up to me. He said, "Have you just been to the South Coast?" And I went, "No." He says, "It looks exactly like the South Coast, all these paintings." And I said, "No, I haven't." But the influence is when I lived in New Zealand. I've just come back from living in Western Australia for 4 years, and absolutely love Margaret River and Gracetown, all those beautiful beaches down there. And Perth beaches are just spectacular, but the rocks and, you know, the coast is just incredible. So a combination of the East Coast, the West Coast, New Zealand, it's all coming out in my work.
I have to say, when I look at that, you know, I think the technique looks like it could be easier, it could be hard to tell. But what's happening in there is something else. It's sense of the tide as well. The sense of the water moving, rushing, as well as the areas that you've picked up with light. They're not actually simple paintings when you look more into it. It's actually really got something special going on with it.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider applying these techniques to big open landscapes, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. I have actually done a couple of landscapes, and I have done some treescapes. But with that painting in particular you're looking at is only half complete. It's a commission.
Yeah.
But there, you know, like, there's a lot more work that has to go into the actual horizon. But with my landscapes, they're not as big as that. I love doing big seascapes, but my landscapes are much smaller, because I feel more comfortable working in landscapes on smaller works. But my seascapes, I can make them big or small. And, you know, I find though, even when I work on a small artwork, I've just done some 15 centimetres by 15 centimetres. Just as much work goes into those as a big one, because you've got to reduce everything, and compositionally it's challenging, but it's great. I love it. I love the challenge. And I just want to keep growing. Like, I just know that, you know, I'm really at the beginning of my art career. I just feel like I've got a lot further to go, and it's a confidence thing, a practice thing, and, you know, just meeting the right people and doing private classes, which I've just attended a weekend workshop, which I just loved.
Which feeds your work, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Like, I don't want to go and paint like the art teacher that taught
me. No, but there might be one thing that sparks one other aspect of your work in some way.
Working with mixed media. So we did a lot of mixed media, and I really enjoyed that.
And that would add texture to your work.
Yes.
A lot of texture.
Yes.
The piece that's behind you there, that looks like it could be sand dunes with a bit of fencing, old fencing and grass and things.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more work. That was actually a very different painting, and I went over it. Sometimes with my acrylic works, if I'm not keen on them after 6 months, I completely go over it, which I've done to this one.
I love it.
I need to actually do a little bit more work here.
Do you though?
Yeah, I do.
It looks great as it is
just
to me.
Just a tiny bit.
And what I like is the way you've broken it into sections. It looks like it could be sand dunes. You've got your lovely big sky, a bit of texture in it, lots of more texture below, yes. And then you almost like different fields within a field, yeah. But all coming in at interesting angles, yes. Suggestions of things, not necessarily spelling things out literally, which I love.
Yes. Well, a lot of influence in that painting's from Byron Bay.
Mm.
I had a holiday up there when we could holiday. And that's just some memories of being in the hinterland and then, you know, I just love the whole farmland, green, beautiful, beautiful hills. And, you know, when it rains up there, it's just magical. But I like light in my skies. The sky is the most important part of my artwork. I want people to have a sense of the ethereal feeling of mystical light and it bouncing off in the painting, you know. So it's got a bit of depth in it.
So you do you try and follow rules of form, like light on, like even clouds?
Yes.
Clouds have form too. They have shadows.
They do.
So do you follow any of that, or you just let that go a bit?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I put like a darker shade underneath and the light up the top. At night time, that painting looks really beautiful. Like it takes on a completely different look with soft light, but I try to keep it semi-abstract, so yeah. Like I could never put in fluffy clouds in my artwork ever. But I like the movement.
Death to fluffy clouds.
Absolutely.
No nimbus clouds. So I'm looking here. I was saying to you before, oh, have you ever discovered Potter's Pink from Winsor & Newton? Because I thought that would go beautifully with your blues and your earth tones, because you love the earth tones, the blues, some soft, dirty creams, your mid-greys, your lighter greys. You've got a lovely melange of tertiary colours in here. And actually, I'm looking at the colour, and that's not far off. We've also got a little spot of lilac. But, you know, you're not going to give too many people sweet treat desserts in your painting of the lovely, pretty colours, are you? It's only a hint because yes. You're working with a reduced kind of
palette.
Yeah. And it's a signature to your work, yeah. By the looks.
Yeah, I actually like a reduced palette.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I sell a lot of work, is because people, it's pleasing on the eye.
Yeah, easy to live with.
Easy to live with, and you can put it pretty, well, you know, but like, I had a lady that owns a gallery/framing shop in Annandale approach me about putting some work in there, and this was at the beginning of COVID. And I thought, who would want to buy a seascape in Annandale, which is the inner city? Boy, was I wrong. I have sold so much work in that place. It's ridiculous.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Just goes to show.
Yeah, it does. People love them. So, but yeah, look, it's I'm just so grateful to be able to paint. You know, I can't imagine my life without painting. Like I go to bed thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow, you know, art-wise, and, you know, you've got to do everything else with it, the washing, the cooking and everything else, but most of the times I'm thinking about painting, but I also think...
And you're also very good at cooking, so if you're not painting, you're making scones and cakes for everybody, I notice.
Yeah,
and
I do love
cooking. Little old ladies are dropping in their homemade jam to go with your scones, I've noticed. And boy, your scones are so good.
Yeah, no, look, I loved cooking, but I was very creative. Like, as a young person, I, you know, learned to sew as an 8-year-old, and I was making my own clothes at a non-uniform high school that I went to as a teenager.
Yeah.
And, you know, then basically, you know, went through the cake decorating series, and then I went to TAFE and did fashion design, but I never followed through with fashion design. I ended up in the corporate world, you know, working...
Me too, for a while.
Yeah, secretarial administration, which I loved. But it wasn't until I had the kids that I went back into the creative field, when my husband put me into the classes. But
he must have known.
Oh, he's always known I'm being creative.
Oh, what a good husband.
Yeah, but I was always too scared to do art classes. I'm not quite sure why.
Mm. Well, you can fall into the wrong hands. You could fall into the hands of somebody who makes you feel not confident.
Yeah.
Or perhaps they insist their way is the only way, or something like that.
I think that's what happened. I did a watercolour class and I just miscarried, and, you know, the lady said, I don't think this is for you. And it was just a nighttime class.
Oh, my gosh. I think somebody can't teach if they're going to limit you like that.
She was very old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, and I watercolour colours was the wrong thing for me.
It's probably all realism and everything.
So, yeah, it was. But when, you know, New Zealand came and John put me into these classes, I haven't looked back.
The advantage too was you didn't really know a lot of people in New Zealand, so if it all went tits up,
yeah,
you could just leave the paintings behind in New Zealand and pretend it never happened.
Well, when
I took off to another country to do my first painting.
Did you?
I was that terrified.
No. But when I actually did do my classes in New Zealand, I didn't put any of them on display to start with. And one of the teachers, Karen Cook, was my teacher over there, and then another fellow called John took over, and he said to me, "Karen, are you hanging your work?" And I went, "No." And he said, "Well, you need to hang your work." So I had about six paintings, and I got John to hang them for me. And Madeline, who used to live across the road, used to be my Friday night happy hour girl. She came over one day and she said, "Oh my God, Karen, where did these artworks come from?" And I said, "Oh, I've been going to art classes, but I haven't told anybody." She went, "I love them." And she says, "I want to buy every one of them."
So good.
So she bought all six paintings.
Wow.
We marched them over to her house and John hung them in her house. So she was the first person to buy my art.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. It makes a difference hanging your work. Because you just lean it on the ground against the wall, it doesn't look as good.
I just didn't feel confident. And Madeline was the person that sent me on my little journeys, because I thought, well... And she's still got them there today. So,
oh, isn't that gorgeous? Yeah. I wonder if she can send us a snap.
Yeah, she would be able to.
That'd be so cool to see your first paintings, because I'll put some pictures together if that's okay with you.
I'll get her to send them to you.
That'd be awesome.
Yep.
Now, we're standing in front of two other paintings in your house, just behind the dining table here. One of them is of a headland. Is that the headland of Palm Beach?
No, my daughter went down south and she was in Kiama, and I said to her, you know, can I have one of the photos that you took? And it was on dusk, and I don't normally paint from photos, but sometimes I like to set myself a little bit of a challenge, that's the word, and it made me feel a bit uncomfortable trying to replicate the photo, but I think it's really good for me to
attempt it. Yeah, because it doesn't look like your other ones at all.
No.
But if somebody came up to you and said, "I want a commission of the Palm Beach headland," that's, you know, I've been here painting this week, it's not my usual subject matter, and I absolutely have had a ball.
Yes.
But one of the things that I'm keen to avoid is all those trees and scrubland and having to do the detail.
Yes.
I was just wondering, is that something that you're not interested in as well? Because you don't mind putting a bit?
Yeah, look, I actually have done a couple of headlands for people, and I do refer to a photo because I want to get the...
A bit of reality.
A reality, yeah. But also the composition correct, because headlands are funny things.
They've got funny shapes.
They stick straight out there.
And the locals know the shapes of them.
They do. They know what tree's on top and what rock has fallen off. And so I've done Avalon, Bill Gola, I have done Palm Beach. Palm Beach is a funny headland though, because it's so long.
Yes, it's very
long.
And
if you look at the lighthouse, it's actually almost back to where it looks like it's joining the land. So, you know, it's very far to the left, the actual lighthouse, and next time you look at it, you'll notice it.
Oh, I had to keep adding to mine when I was painting it from between Whale Beach and Palm Beach. But the thing that I've noticed since I've been here, as I've tried to capture what's around me, I'm coming into this with totally fresh eyes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not, like, I've gone into your gallery where, the Palm Beach Art Gallery, where everybody's showing, all the local artists showing, they're doing the sea scene so well.
Yes.
That's absolutely what they're practicing all the time. So I'm going, oh, how embarrassing, I'm doing my seascape. I realise that I do bring something to it. It might be different.
Yes.
And what I'm interested in very much is I've noticed that I like not just painting the sea, but I like to stand back into the trees.
Yes.
I like to paint through the trees.
Yes.
I like to put the feeling of nature and the abundance of nature in front of the sea.
Yes.
And that's really working for me. But one thing I've noticed is the different times of the day, all those big blocks of land on the horizon, all the headlands and things, sometimes they just go to a soft misty colour if they're suffused with light.
Yes.
Yesterday I was doing one and it started off, it was sort of, you know, these smoky aubergines to blues, and then being filled with lichen paler, and then suddenly there was this massive amount of pale rose and gold coming through from the right. And I just had to change the whole painting. I thought, isn't this brilliant? I don't have to paint trees. I'm just painting my favourite colours, which are very floral anyway. Ended up doing like a pink mauve. Golden hill with a touch of blue in it.
And you know, in winter, the whole horizon has more of a purple glow to it. And in summer, you've got, it's a much richer sort of orangey colour. But in the middle of winter,
a lot of peach colours too.
Yeah, when you go past Pittwater, it's got this completely different hue about it. It's so divine.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the one that's next to it here, you've got a bit more of a mysterious kind of shape on the horizon.
I have. It's a little bit more foggy. That one.
Foggy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... fog is a characteristic here.
Yeah, we actually get these sea fogs that roll in and they're pretty mystical, actually. They're beautiful, but they make the whole area with headland look amazing. It looks like, you know, ghosts could walk out. But it's just amazing. It's so beautiful.
When I was painting, I had like a metre between me and the edge of the road. I parked the car and I had it like still a metre, so I was pretty safe on this winding road. I was painting away and this guy strides out in his togs and not a young man, by the way, a furry older man in a pair of little togs and a pair of runners.
His budgie smugglers.
Budgie smugglers and a pink hat and some zinc on his nose. It was only like 8:30 in the morning. Turns out he's a film director who's been busy writing. He's off for an inspirational walk. And he stopped and he showed me that. He said, have you seen the snake? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, nothing to do with the budgie smugglers, actually. It was more to do with... He had his phone there and he showed me this speeded up version of this fog rolling out from behind the Palm Beach head.
That's where it comes in.
And it just, this massive snake of fog coming out on this speeded up film. It happens about 6 times a year.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes your breath away. And if you go to the Bible Gardens.
Yes, I love the Bible Gardens.
You look over that. So you actually see the top of the headland poking out and then the snake, the fog below. And it's absolutely sensational.
Like, wow.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to be living in this part of the world.
It is magic. You've got birds.
We do. We've got a lot of birds.
So this is the thing. You've got so many beautiful things here. And in order to have this distinctive work that you're doing, are saying no to many other things. You're not doing the flowers. You're not doing the nature. You're just saying, I'm not. That's not me. I'm this, and that's a really bold, strong choice. Is that hard to not be interested?
It's not that I'm not interested. I absolutely love flowers, like flowers and trees. I just love.
Yeah.
But I think I have to pretty well focus on my landscapes at the moment because I think if I did do flowers particularly, I would have to completely forget about landscapes.
Yeah, so two different things, aren't they?
Yeah, until I learnt how to do the flowers correctly, because that would be a learning curve for me.
Well, there's such things, aren't they? Whereas you're doing more of a... I don't know, I look at yours and I think they're very beautiful colour-wise, and actually compositionally and spatially they're doing something for sure.
Yes.
And it's taken you a long time to get it right, hasn't it?
Yes. Well, been painting for about 14 years, but about 7 years I've definitely feel like I found my niche, I have found my style.
Yeah.
And it's taken me a lot of practice to get there, but other people enjoy it, and whilst people are buying my art like they are, like I'm literally painting a painting in itself.
Wow.
So
that's great.
And I have got quite a few commissions at the moment.
Yes.
So
well, what would it cost for a large piece over the mantelpiece?
That would be about $3,000.
Oh yeah. So they're affordable.
Very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
And that's a handmade
stretcher. Do you do those yourself?
No, I've actually had that made and had it delivered because I can't fit it in my car.
Who do you get that to do for you?
I do Art Spectrum.
Oh yeah.
Or you can Art Smart at Seaforth is also very good.
Okay, good to know.
Yep, Art Smart are great actually, and there's also Mona Vale, they'll do them as well. There's a little shop down there,
Because I use the Sydney Art Store. They make really beautiful handmade canvases as well. But that yours sounds good. I haven't heard of Art Spectrum.
Yes.
I know you don't have a huge amount of time this afternoon. Let's enter the studio. Now, the studio is under the house. It's a beautiful sunny afternoon. It's autumn. I can see some palm tops. And when we were standing up on the veranda, you could see down through the water to the water of Pittwater, lovely rich blue. And behind that, the bushland on the other side of the water is a lovely blue-purple colour with a little bit of olive in it. Stunning day, loads of light pouring through the studio, and pretty tidy, I have to say, compared to if you came to visit my studio in action. Lots of you've got a tile floor with lots of splots on it. That's pretty arty, like you would expect an artist to be a little bit messy.
Pretty brass.
You've got some lovely big easels and all sorts of colours, ranges of blues and golds blues and pale blues and a little bit of turquoise. Do you like turquoise?
I don't mind turquoise. Indigos are my favourite colours, but turquoise I don't mind. I definitely need to probably go down that track a little bit more with the turquoise. And greens. I love my greens.
I like the greens that you're putting in too. And I notice that, you know, it's almost like the bottle green colours are in the environment. As I've been painting here this week, there's a bit of that going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Just depending on the time of the day and the colour of the water. It's beautiful.
And so sometimes you work in oils, but mostly you're working in acrylics?
Yeah, I actually work mostly in acrylics because I'm asthmatic. I tend to find that the acrylics really affect my... the oils affect my lungs because I do like to use liquin and mediums in the oils.
To get them to dry quick.
Yeah, to get them to dry quick. But I absolutely love oils. Like when I use them, I feel like you're dipping, you know, you're brushing butter. So.
But does that give you different effects compared to, acrylic's great too because it also catches on a surface. Yeah. It runs out of moisture at a certain point, and so it catches.
Yes.
And you get a different texture. So you're finding you get different textures between the two?
Yeah, I do. Let's walk into the shade a bit.
Okay. So are you baking there in that hot sun?
I'm getting really, really hot. I've got to turn my humidifier off so it's not noisy.
Yeah.
But, I find with acrylics that I do use modelling paste in them. It all dries within 24 hours and I can come down and work again the next day. Mm. Oils, I have to wait a few days for them to dry, but I do love the blending purposes of the oils and the mediums. You can't beat it. But just for my lungs, I work mostly in acrylics.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great, and it makes me feel like I want to pick up a brush and have some fun with it too. But I'm pretty busy doing what I'm doing too.
Yes. But it looks beautiful work.
Oh, thank you, darling. Love your stroke. So you know you're also conscious that you've got some dynamics to strokes. So do you like when you're moving brush? Do you sort of deliberately use energy sometimes?
I do. I'd love to do a lot of scraping, and I sort of try and pair the paint away a little bit because I definitely like direction, especially at the bottom of the paintings where the sort of rock sea meets the horizon. I like to have different brush strokes, different sort of styles, but incorporating this my light skies with my land part of the landscape or the seascape, and the horizon. I find the horizon part the hardest part to do.
You're working in the bottom 25% of the canvas there mostly?
Yes, yep.
I always like to say, 20% of your canvas gets 80% of the attention, and that's your collection where your collection of marks are. Like the top part hasn't been hard work because it's so moody and it takes a while to build up that mood, even though it looks like there's less happening. There's been a lot happening in order to build up that sense of...
Well, that's sort of only the first few layers. I've only done two layers on that painting.
It looks beautiful.
And it's got a long way to go. I put about 10, 12 layers in my work. With my artworks, I really like the emphasis to be in the sky and the light and the movement of the clouds. Not that my clouds are traditional, they're very abstract, but I want people to have that sense of relaxation and an ethereal feeling when they look at the work. And then as they go down the painting, there is that little bit of movement, and
there's a bit more to hold their interest. Yeah,
yes, yeah,
and to ground the painting,
yes,
too.
Yeah, so because you couldn't have, you know, like it'd be too boring without the foreground down the bottom.
And it goes back to that conversation that you were saying, people coming into the gallery, well, what an invaluable experience to learn what people liked and didn't like, and the kind of people, yes, that might buy your paintings. It's so nice to not be divorced from that process.
Yes.
How cool to learn that. But yeah, people wanting to be able to link the abstract marks to something, not,
yes,
just have a bunch of abstract marks.
Yes.
Oh, it's a seascape, or,
yes,
it's the water over rocks and sky painting.
Well, that's what I noticed, you know, when people come into gallery, what I'd have to say, I think if you did, you know, if you did some sort of mathematical statistics, I think that people walk in, and when they resonate with a painting, a lot of people like still life. Like, they love flowers, they love still life, they know the fact that there's a tree, they can see in my work that there's a landscape or a seascape. But I really love abstraction, and when we have pure abstraction in the gallery, I just love them.
Mm.
And you know, but some people walk in and they go, you know.
But you've got a heightened taste for it.
Yeah.
And you understand what's involved in mark making.
Oh, it's hard.
It's
abstraction is hard.
It's not as easy as you think.
No.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like inviting people to say,
how
would you start? You know, where would you place your first mark? You know, I just love all art. It doesn't matter, you know. Like Fred Williams, when I went down to Canberra to see his retrospective exhibition down there with a girlfriend, we dropped our kids off at school and then we drove down. Our husbands had to pick up the children, and we were absolutely in our element. And I look back at somebody like Fred, who died way too young, but look at the way he did his mark making on his work and the light and his compositions.
It was brave.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, you know, I'm definitely influenced by other artists, but I have my own style.
You certainly do, and yes. I think that's great. You can still be in conversation, you can still be stimulated, but you know, you're working within your own terrain.
Yes.
And there might be a thread of something, but I don't think you'd ever relate it back to somebody else's work ever, because of the particular way you work. And it means that it's going to be endless for you.
It will.
Your art career is an endless horizon of success and exploration. It's perfect.
But it's meeting people like you that makes it so lovely. And, you know, gives you confidence and generosity that you have.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I love it too. And I just think it's great to share and get it out there. And now, where can people find you online?
If they look up Karen Hick, spelled H-I-C-K, and Karen, K-A-R-E-N. So if you search for Karen Hick Artist, I've got a website. You can go on Instagram and find me on Instagram as Karen Hick, and also on Facebook as Karen Hick.
So if everybody could like and follow, if you can actually follow Karen, that'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
And then do you ever share when there are openings on at Palm Beach, or well, obviously your own,
yes,
openings, you'd let people know?
I can definitely do that. Yeah, I do. On my Instagram account, I always let people know where I'm exhibiting and what I'm doing.
So you can keep in touch and go and meet Karen yourself. And I can thoroughly recommend meeting her. She's fabulous. And if you're lucky enough to get near her scones, even better.
Do you know what's even better is my chocolate brownies.
Oh, I'm coming back.
Next time you come, I'll do the chocolate brownies.
I'm in.
Okay.
Well, it's just been beautiful. You've been awesome. And thank you so much, Karen Hick.
Well, thank you for interviewing me. It's lovely.
Oh, pleasure. I'm sure everybody's going to love it.
Thank you.